Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do, keep breathing.
That's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, at CaregiverDave.com, along with my lovely co-host, former mayor of a California beach town, and best-selling author, Debbie Peterson, who unfortunately won't make it today. She had to go to the ER for something. Bummer. Well, we are coming to you live and on-demand 24-7 on numerous syndicated radio and podcast networks on 26 global audio and video platforms, including iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher Radio, and a whole bunch more. In fact, we are proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast on Feedspot out of thousands and number one caregiver podcast on Player FM of the top 50. And we have an especially exciting show planned for you today. Ken Rolfe grew up in South St. Paul, Minnesota, attended the University of Minnesota, and graduated from the University of Minnesota Law School. He has practiced law for more than 30 years, currently serves in the House, in-house general counsel, large corporation, and he currently resides in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. I got a brother-in-law who lives in Minnesota, Minnetonka.
All right, not too far.
The father of two, became a doting grandfather, first time in 2024, but with the loss of his wife, Sherry, on Christmas Day after a short courageous battle with pancreatic cancer, combined with the arrival of his first grandchild, was inspired to begin writing children's books. And before we get into that interview, just a reminder, you can watch or listen to the interview. I want to take a moment and thank my last week's guest, Gail Hamilton, who's an accredited international motivational speaker, trainer on blindness education, and prolific author, Soaring Into Greatness, A Blind Woman's Vision to Live Her Dreams and Fly Belays. Just a reminder, you can watch or listen to that interview and all our interviews, including this one, on my website, caregiverdave.com, or any of our other 26 global networks I mentioned earlier. All right, enough of that. Kenneth, or Ken, which do you prefer?
Ken is good, Dave. Thank you.
Ken, welcome to the Caregiver Dave Show. We're so excited to have you on. And I always like to ask my guests, just who is Kenneth Rolfe and why was he placed on this earth?
Well, thanks for the lollipop start question, Dave. I appreciate that. I think you touched on a few things in the intro. I think I'm a pretty regular guy. I've always been a lover of sports. I went to college to play baseball, figured out quickly enough that I was not good enough to play. And so I began hitting the books a little harder. Fortunately, I was able to graduate from law school, as you had mentioned, and became married thereafter, raised two wonderful kids, and now have our first grandchild. So, you know, when I think back to why was I put on this earth, I think that the answer to that question kind of has many, many answers. First, I probably was put here to become a good student and a student of the law and help clients with their troubles. I think that more importantly, I was put here to become a good husband and a good father to our two kids. And I'm sure we'll get into this more, after my wife became ill, I was put here without any training to become the best caregiver for her that I could be. Since she has passed, through kind of my new venture on this children's book, I think that I'm kind of put here to spread the message of keeping the memory of lost loved ones alive, Dave. And I don't know what's going to happen on the next chapter or two, but that's a little bit about why I think I've been put here.
Wow, that's a lot. So you are an attorney. You still practice, right?
I still do. Yes, sir.
So your role as an attorney in traditional law, and then leaving to go to in-house, and then 45 days after starting the new role, that your wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Tell me
Yes.
what shock, what grief process you went through when you first found out that this was a serious thing.
Well, the first emotion or that I probably have gone through, or we both went through, or our family went through, was disbelief.
Denial.
Pancreatic cancer is a brutal disease that shows much or little symptoms. She didn't have any symptoms to speak of. Complained of a little bit of, something in her lower stomach area, enough that she went in to visit a doctor, and then she was, they suspected something that then later got confirmed at a follow-up visit. I remember walking to the elevator after the one visit, just really in shock, Dave. I couldn't believe it. Really, really in shock. So I would say that was kind of the initial reaction to it. From there, I think that, and as you know, as the caregiver, you deal with the cards that you're dealt, and you tackle every day the best you can to help the person in need.
Did you ever hear of the grief process when this happened to you? Do you know anything about it? Different
I
stages
did
of grief?
not. Nope, I did not.
I assume you know something about it now.
Well, I do. Obviously, I'm not a doctor or a grief counselor or that, but having gone through the caregiving process and it's been 5.5 years since my wife passed, I have gone through the grieving process and probably know through the school of hard knocks a little bit.
Yeah. So how long did it take you to get, through the denial and the depression and the anger and the bargaining before you came to the stage of accepting? It's different for everybody.
It is different for everybody. Not everybody touches in each of those categories. There's no, there's no, we're not going to go through all five, and we don't know how long you're going to be in each. I think, Dave, that right or wrong, my view on my wife's illness and death, I may have done differently than others, and that was that I was thankful and grateful for the time that we had spent together and what we had done together and raising our family and having a great relationship. And so, as weird as it might sound, I don't know that I touched an anger emotion. I really tried to focus my attention and efforts on what I believed. I didn't make it up, but what I believed, and that was being thankful for the time that we spent together.
Wow. Oh, yeah. So, did you even know what a caregiver was when this happened? Or did that take you by shock too?
I did not. I lost my father to a heart attack, sudden. So there was no caregiving involved with that. My mother, I lost to cancer. I did do some caregiving there, but nothing like what I experienced with Sherry. So she was diagnosed in mid-October, and she passed away on Christmas Day. And so she was her disease is only 11 weeks in duration. And so it was intense, and it was an everyday thing.
So she finds out she has cancer, and 11 weeks later, she passes away. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that you had to go through that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Dave.
But the silver lining, is a lot of people who've been dealing with long-term effects of illness and caregiving will tell you it's a blessing to have them go so quickly, because they suffer and the caregiver suffers. And, you know, I've been dealing with my wife's stroke now for 28 years. And, you know, there are some things worse than death, some people say. But I think if, looking back retrospectively, I don't know if you had enough time to look back, but, you know, if she did hang on, who knows how much suffering you'd have to deal with, and especially for her, how much suffering she'd have to deal with. Did you ever think of that?
I did. I think that Sherry wanted a quality of life. And so, you know, I don't know all of what plays into death, but if she couldn't experience a quality of life, whether that had a bearing in how fast she went or not, I don't know that we spent time talking about that at all. And I don't want it to sound bad, but I do don't disagree with what you said, that, you know, if the quality of life is not there, that, you know,
yeah, you know, a lot of people don't even know what an advance directive or a living will is, but you know, dealing with my wife, you know, I made one out, and so did she now. And you know, I don't want any feeding tubes. I don't want to be resuscitated unless I can have a good quality of life. If I was as disabled as she is, I don't know if I would want that either. And so do you now have a living will or an advance directive? And did she at the time?
Well, she also was a lawyer. And so, yes and yes. How is that? we had that cover. We never got to that with her. Yeah, we had that part of the checkbox or checklist covered, I guess.
Yeah. What type of attorneys are you? What do you specialize in?
You know, we're both pretty much the same. She was a much better lawyer than I was, but I do mostly commercial real estate work and real estate financing, that sort of stuff. She did more sales of companies and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we both practice about 30 years.
Yeah. So you were her primary caregiver, or did you hire some caregivers?
Did not hire any caregivers, Dave. I was the primary caregiver. Obviously, you know, I'm sure like you, friends stepped up incredibly for us through a variety of ways. If I can tell a quick story. I want to pay homage to my good buddy, but he, so I kind of have a bad back, and our bedroom was on the second floor. And as Sherry began to get weaker and weaker, she couldn't make it up the steps. And so without fail, Dave, every night at 8 o'clock, he would show up at our door. He'd look at her and say, "You ready?" She'd say, "Yeah, I'm ready." He'd throw her over his shoulder and they'd march upstairs and he'd place her in bed every night. It was the most, most incredible act of friendship I've told him many times that I've ever experienced.
Wow. Is he a strong guy?
He's a strong guy. He's he's a good guy. He's a strong guy. And he's, you know, one of those friends, I'm sure you've experienced it, that kind of come out of the woodwork to help, you know, when you're in a pickle.
Yeah, obviously, I don't recommend anyone do that because, you know, not many people can do that.
Yeah.
And hurt themselves. Now they've got two people hurt.
Yeah, true.
What was the most difficult decision you know, that you guys ever made?
I think, and we waited and waited and waited as long as we could. The most difficult decision was the day that we moved her from home to a hospice house. Our whole family was there. That was a tough day. We had to carry her down the steps, and leaving the house and going to hospice. I will say, Dave, that the care and treatment that we received at our hospice house was second to none. I think they're angels on earth. They were unbelievable. And I was so thankful once we were there. And but to answer your question, the most difficult decision was moving her to hospice.
So I'm sure everyone knows what hospice is. What is a hospice house?
Well, they have nurses there, and there wasn't doctors, but nurses there that I think, I mean, everything happens so fast, your head's a spin, but nurses there that their primary objective is to, assist the person in need with just being comfortable and...
Facility.
I'm sorry?
It's a facility.
It's a facility.
Or is it an actual house?
This place actually was a house, and it had eight rooms in it. So they had eight different people in need that were there. And, my wife had her own room, and, they administered medicines and try to keep her comfortable. When you go to hospice, you kind of know that you're near the end, and so she went in on the 23rd of December. Remember it vividly, arriving there about 5 o'clock in the evening, and she passed 2 days later on Christmas Day, about the same time, about 5 o'clock or so.
Wasn't in there very long.
She was not, but the care that she received while she was there was unbelievable. So
were you there as well? I mean, obviously they probably wouldn't let you sleep there, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we were there, around the clock kind of a thing, but we did not stay there for sleep.
Was that a precious, beautiful time for you guys? I mean, saying your goodbyes and stuff? Or you didn't look at
it? Yeah, I mean, I think that I would say yes, but I just mostly just didn't want her to suffer. And so to see her nearing the end, was difficult for me. But we obviously all spent time together, as a group, and then privately with her, and that was precious. Yes.
Now, we spoke about the grief process, but there's a thing also called anticipatory grief, where you're anticipating her dying and your loss. Tell me if that was happening in your head as well before she passed.
Yeah, so I just went to a grief conference 2 weeks ago. That's the first time I've heard of the phrase anticipatory grief. But I think that, when in October we learned that, it was a terminal disease that and maybe that's if I'm answering the question, right? You start the process of this is not going to turn around with, a miracle cure or whatever. And so maybe you start the process of what is the next chapter going to look like and that sort of thing. Is that what you're talking about, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you were fortunate. You did not have to go for more than a couple of days, but some people go through 6 months, 8 months of hospice, knowing that they're going to die any day now. They don't even know when, but some people just carry on and prolong it, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And so they have a lot of anticipatory grief. And then you would think that all that grief would be out of your system by the time they pass away, but when they pass away, they go into a different kind of grief.
Yeah,
and they're surprised because, well, I knew she was going to pass away, and I had dealt with it. I made peace with her and with God and with myself. And all of a sudden it happened, you know, and it became just more real that way. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm just reflecting back on my life a little bit that, you know, like I say earlier, I lost my dad from a sudden heart attack. I think that, unlike Sherry, I didn't get a chance to grieve that anticipatorily. That's a word. And so I think I did grieve his loss after he passed deeply. Obviously the same with Sherry, but there was probably, as you mentioned it, you know, I did have an opportunity to grieve prior to her passing. Yes.
Hmm. So what caused you to start writing children's books? Where did all that come from?
Yeah. So quick backstory, my daughter last fall, September, on my birthday, she came over and her husband and her came over and announced that they were having our grandchild, first grandchild in the family. And so, you know, obviously I was so happy for them and our family, and it's, you know, such a great thing. And our grandson is now born, he's 4 months old, but, you know, after they left, I just knew that at some point in the not too distant future, we're going to have to explain to my grandson, you know, who his grandmother was that he never had a chance to meet. And so that's when I kind of sat down, scratched out an outline, and I'll be honest with you, Dave, the words of it probably came out in two nights. It just came out of my heart. And so anyway, the book is called Christmas Sun, A Beautiful Tradition to Remember Grandma. And the Christmas of it is based upon the fact that my wife passed on Christmas Day. And the sun part is because she just absolutely loved to watch sunsets. So that's kind of that. But the crux of the book is it's a polar bear family, and the mom of polar bear and the grandpa polar bear explained to little polar bear about the loss of grandma, and they come up with a grandma leaves behind a Christmas tree ornament that then the family uses to place on the Christmas tree and to share stories and keep memories alive about grandma.
Wow. Yeah, it's just an amazing book. I told you. Now, I've read some different books about trying to get kids to deal with death, but I think this is the best one I've ever read.
So I really appreciate that, Dave. That means a lot to me. I thank you.
So what kind of feedback have you had on the book, and how long has it been on the market?
So we launched it in June, and we did a launch. Fortunately, we became a Amazon number one bestseller. It was ranked the best new children's Christmas book, and it was magically one spot ahead of Christmas at Hogwarts by J.K. Rowling. So I got a picture of that in my office here. So that was awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're famous in that you look like Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton, and a little John Travolta, you know, just kind of all mixed into one.
Wow.
Voice in your...
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think
once you retire, you could probably play doubles for them.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I should do, right? Yeah.
Well, let's see. In light of the fact that your wife passed away on Christmas Day, are there any tips that you may have to our audience about going through the holidays after the loss of someone special? That happens a lot. You know, the holidays don't always bring happiness to people. Many times it brings the sadness because they lost a loved one, or they're not, this is the first Christmas that they're not with their loved one. And, you know, a lot of them just go into depression. How do we cope with that?
Yeah, so I think a few pointers, I guess, that, and again, I'm not a doctor or a counselor. This is me in my research of, grief and going through the holidays, and then my personal experience. So I just want to let your audience know if they need, more professional help, they should reach out for that. But how's that for a lawyer disclaimer, Dave?
I was just going to comment. You sound like a lawyer.
Yeah, right. So I think the first point that I'd like to make is that everybody wants a cookie cutter solution, but we're not cookies. And so we all grieve differently. As we talked about earlier, we grieve haphazardly in and out of those categories that you mentioned. And I think that, I'll focus on like our nuclear family, just to allow all of those folks to grieve in their own way. Some might be more outward, some might be more inward, but allow that to happen and just be aware that we all grieve differently. So that's point one. Point two, I would say, is like put on your oxygen mask. Like when the holidays are physically and emotionally draining, that's when you're not grieving. But when you're grieving and it's your first time through the holidays after your special person has passed, I think that, like we experience when we step on a plane, we get the oxygen mask speech, and you need to take care of yourself before you take care of others. And I think we know what that means, eating well, resting, hydrating, that sort of stuff, some exercise. Take care of yourself. And then from there, when you're healthy, you can give better care to those around you in need. And I'm sure you know that well with your wife and whatnot.
Amen. No one signed up for this. It was involuntary, like being drafted in the army. Well, Ken, I can't believe how fast our time has gone today. Thank you so much for coming on the show. How can listeners reach you or get a hold of your book?
Yeah, so it's Ken Rolph, ROH as in Henry, L as in Larry, F as in Frank, kenrolphbooks.com, or it's on Amazon. You can search Christmas Sun, and that should bring it up. And yeah, I guess that's it. And I want to thank you so much, Dave, for having me on, and all that you do in this space.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, most of our audience is burned out caregivers. So, a reminder to y'all that are out there listening, that all our live shows become recorded in video, pod and video casts, and all our platforms mentioned before, like YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Podbean, and so on. CaregiverDave.com is my free membership website as well. The support community with lots of free gifts and resources, including a free coaching session, get you going on that. Anytime is one session is enough to solve the problems that keep you up at night. So also, if you would click the like or follow button on whatever platform you're watching or listening to this on, it helps us reach even more caregivers by improving Google's search engine algorithm. So again, Ken, to you and to all my listeners out there, thank you again for tuning in each and every week, making us the number one caregiver podcast on the internet. Until next week, same time, same channel. May God richly bless you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Dave.
Our featured speaker is a best-selling author who has written numerous books and articles. He's a speaker, life coach, and host of Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver radio program. He frequently appears on television and radio shows all across the country and has even shared the stage with Suzanne Somers at Harvard. But his most important role is caregiver to his beautiful wife, Charlene, for over 22 years. Please welcome Mr. Dave Nassani!
I want to share with you a love story. In a couple of weeks, my wife and I will be celebrating 44 years of being together. My wife, Charlene, and I had a fairy tale storybook romance, courtship, and marriage for the first 21 years of our lives together. One day, out of nowhere, my wife has a headache, the headache of her life. She suffered a massive stroke, and it left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. And in that moment, our world turned upside down.
I got to tell you, the next 2 years was like a living hell.
I just didn't know what to do. I felt guilty most of the time. I became a caregiver. I didn't even know what a caregiver was.
I was experiencing the same problems that other caregivers experience.
If you don't take care of you, I can't take care of her.
Well, that's why I wrote the book.
Now I can teach other caregivers.
I'm living proof that you can thrive as a caregiver.
My wife and I travel now all over the world sharing our story.
One day, life is going to call upon you to be the captain of your boat.
Heck, you might be saving your own life. Thank you.
Yeah! Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again.